Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about His Holiness the Pope praying alongside His Gracious Majesty Charles III. So the British monarch, he visited the Eternal City, the Vatican, which is of course a sovereign nation, and that's the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, there's a clue why it's called Roman, as the HQ is in Rome. So they prayed together in public in the first time this has ever happened. Because now, of course, until the 20th century, no British monarch had met a pope for centuries or ever, actually. In the Middle Ages, people didn't travel very much. 1533, Henry VIII broke with Rome. The kings of Scots didn't meet them. You know, in Ireland, when we had like separate monarchs going back to, say, the 12th century, early 12th century, then they didn't meet them either. So that's it. So the king made a flying visit. They prayed in the Sistine Chapel as part of the Vatican, then the Vatican Hill. Sistine, as in Pope Sixtus ordered to be built, the one with that magnificent, well, what do you call it, painting on the ceiling by Michelangelo and so on, the Last Judgment. So as the Pope said, let us pray, praying in English. So that marvelous, really exquisite 16th century chapel. And Her Britannic Majesty, Queen Camilla, was there as well, wearing black. Now, why? Because Catholic queens wear white, heretic queens wear black. Heretic is a rather damning way to say any queen who's not a Roman Catholic. And by the way, a First Lady wear black because she's equivalent to a queen. And when they came up with this Vatican Protocol, obviously First Ladies didn't exist. There were scarcely any republics or presidents. And so we go on. So it's an ecumenical moment. Now, let's not forget that Charles III, he is head and supreme governor of the Church of England and impliedly the Anglican Communion. There's all those churches around the world which are daughters of the Church of England. When the British Empire existed, Anglicans planted churches elsewhere. There's the Anglican Church of Australia, the Anglican Church of Canada, in the United States, the Episcopalian Church of the United States of America, and other places, often called the Church of the Province wherever, the Church of the Province of Central Africa, the Church of the Province of West Africa, and so on, the Church of North India, the Church of South India. I shan't say that, but it's not every country in the world. So there we go. So this would have been highly controversial some time ago. I remember the late and unlamented Honourable Enoch Pole said that he could, as an Anglican, he couldn't work out if he's a Catholic or a Protestant. Now, that is a standing puzzle to some people, because he would say he would be a Catholic inside the Church of England, an Anglo-Catholic, so he's not a Roman Catholic, because the British monarch is the head of his church, whereas the Roman Catholic Church, the Bishop of Rome, is the head. A member of the 39 Articles of the Church of England, Article 10, says, the Bishop of Rome hath no authority in this realm of England. And obviously, in the Ireland, there's the 39 Articles of the Church of Ireland, which is simply a carbon copy of that, and for England, read Ireland. Now, notably, those articles don't dispute the Pope's lawful authority over other realms. It's only in England, and actually then in Ireland. Not sure about Wales or Scotland. And so we go on. Okay, so it went very well. And nobody would mind these days, except Ian Paisley's son, not Sir Ian Paisley, the politician, but Kyle Paisley, one of his other sons, who I think is a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church, really headbanging Protestants to say, oh, the king should abdicate for having done this. But these days, nobody cares. They used to be talking in the 1980s, would the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church reunite? But the Anglican Church moved further away by ordaining women. And now a woman is even Archbishop of Canterbury. I don't see what's wrong with that. I mean, I'm not a believing Christian, but I don't see any theological argument against it. Most churches have allowed women to be ordained and promoted, and I don't perceive them to have lost anything apart from a few crusty old incense-wagging misogynistic reactionaries. You know, women have half the talent in the world. Why shouldn't they bear religious leadership? There was resistance to women becoming solicitors and barristers and judges and architects and pharmacists and doctors and dentists and engineers and airline pilots and soldiers and sailors and just about everything. And unsurprisingly, it's there in religious ministry as well. So it was a very brief visit because obviously the Vatican is so small, smallest country in the world, if you want to call it a country at all. And it's even got, you know, so it's only, is it 1 square kilometer, got only about 800 inhabitants, about 500 citizens. Some of the Vatican citizens live elsewhere. like the Philippines, because that Cardinal Luis Tagle, the Archbishop of Manila, he's got a Vatican passport. Very senior Catholic clergy are issued Vatican passports to enable them to travel easily, because in a Filipino passport he'd need visas for loads of countries. As a Vatican citizen, he doesn't. Apparently, they remove citizenship for you when you no longer need it. There we go. In the Holy See. See as in seat. There's the See of Canterbury. There's the seat, like the Archbishop's seat or a bishop's seat. SEEC, but it's not as in eyesight. Goodness, what else? The Catholic Church, well, the Vatican City, being a sovereign state, appoints its own ambassadors, and called nuncio, as in messenger in Latin. Why we say announce and things like that. And the nunciate, as in the embassy, the Vatican nunciate in the United Kingdom is by Wimbledon Common. So that was a successful trip, and His Britannic Majesty had intended to visit the Vatican City early this year, but Pope Francis was terminally ill and he died just after Easter. And then they elected this American chap, who's now Pope Leo XIV, in very short order, Robert Prevost. I didn't see that one coming, the Chicagoan Pope. So Nobody Minds went off without a hitch, that they are both, well, Charles III is very frail, whereas Prevost is 69, but looks like 49, if that. All the other cardinals, oh yes, on the balcony, so happy for you, but going, so envious. They want it for themselves because they've got vanity too. They have a very human flaws. And Tagle think, damn, and this guy is a picture of health. He's going to live to 100. Tagle, if he's alive at all, would be considered, you know, in such decrepitude and infirmity, he can't get it. We'll go to someone younger. You got one shot at this usually, barring any disaster or rapidly advancing cancer or brain tumor or something like that, or assassination. But Charles III is said to be terminally ill. So, okay, the height of cordiality between the United Kingdom and the Vatican City, which didn't even have diplomatic relations until about 1850, when the Catholic Episcopate was allowed back. Officially, bishops and archbishops appointed throughout the United Kingdom. Okay, Ireland, and we'd had them for longer than that, but the major portion of the United Kingdom, Great Britain. And then when the Catholic Episcopate and Archbishopate came back, they deliberately gave them different titles to avoid confusion. There's the Archbishop of Canterbury for the Anglicans, the highest Roman Catholic one's Archbishop of Westminster. And there's an Archbishop of York in Northern England. For the Anglicans, Catholics, we got the Archbishop of Middlesbrough. So whereas in Ireland, there are two Archbishops of Dublin, two Archbishops of Armagh, two Bishops of Derry and Raphoe, and so on. So what did you think? Do you think it was good? Is it worth it? I mean, how much does it cost that all this flying around? Does it actually improve relations? Does it do anything? Is it just frippery? Is it a waste of public funds and airtime? We could be discussing serious issues. A welcome distraction for the king from the disgrace that his brother has brought upon the House of Windsor. But perhaps Prevost could tell him how to handle such scandals. He's got enough experience in it. Thank you. Goodbye.